Hello, this is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen Encanto Sing Along or Encanto, we will be giving away Encanto
They're
as
very
well.
Similar.
Yeah. but if you haven't seen Encanto Sing Along and you don't want to know, you want to be surprised when that first song comes up. You want to be surprised with how exactly you get to sing along with the film. Mm. We will be spoiling that in this episode. Otherwise, enjoy.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week we chat something that Leguizamo has been in. Why? Because we really like him, and we decided 3 years ago that this is how we wanted to spend our time. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might remember me from really enjoying Encanto.
Yeah.
The original Encanto, yeah. Very much, and like in a shocking kind of way. I didn't think I'd love it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm joined, as always, by my very dear friend, Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from.
Just being surprisingly moved by Encanto the first time I watched it. Such a moving film.
And we are joined, and you'd know this if you listened to our episode 2 days ago where we had a little chip chat. We're joined by one of our very favourite people, a Leguizamarama favourite, comedian, radio presenter, actor, just phenomenal human being. Here in Sydney, it's Jen Fricker.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, boys. Ah, you want some lollies?
My name's Jen Fricker, and I'm happy to fucking be here, cunt.
If you like youth radio, I did that.
Let's talk about Encanto.
I just had the frog in my throat. I drank a whole bottle of water too. There's no reason, and then all of a sudden I'm like, "Hello, boys."
Well, lucky we're wonderful professionals, and we just helped you sweep it under the rug.
No one noticed, Jen.
We didn't do an impression on
you. No one even noticed.
Shall I jump in with the description?
That's
with
how
the
we
blurb?
Do it now.
It's so strange.
If any of you by any chance at all are upset that we're not having a chit chat before we talk about the film, then you're a few weeks late, my friend. We've split the episode, so if you want to hear...
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Our chit chat, we released it a couple of days ago on this same RSS feed, so it's just there.
Just go back, wherever you get your podcasts, go back and listen to the last episode. Now, we are going to talk straight up about Encanto, Sing Along.
Sing Along, don't get it twisted.
This week, we watched Encanto Sing Along. This 2022 film is exactly the same as the 2021 film Encanto, except for it has the words to the songs on the screen with a karaoke-style colour change ticker situation. I thought it might not feature the spoken scenes or would maybe have the vocal tracks lower in the mix, but it didn't, and that's fine, TBH, because it's nice to watch Encanto again. Much like 2021's Encanto, 2022's Encanto Sing-Along tells the story of Maribel Madrigal, who is the only member of the Madrigals who doesn't have a magic door that gives her a magic gift. I've blown the description here, but it is a good plot. John Leguizamo plays Bruno, who, while it would be easy to make a joke along the lines of "we don't talk about Bruno," I think it's best that I do. He's Maribel's uncle, a misunderstood member of the Madrigals whose power of divination has seen him ostracized by his family and all who live in the eponymous Encanto.
Very good. Jen, had you seen this movie before?
I had not seen Encanto Sing-Along, and I had not seen Encanto non-singing version.
Okay, great.
So this is my first time. And I'll say, I watched it this morning before I came here. The vibe, the energy I was bringing to it was, last night I had a dream that my childhood dog had like come back and had visited me. And so like 20 years later after it died, it still remembered me. And so that was like, I woke up just like bawling my eyes out because I was like, I miss my dog so much. And it took me back to a childhood place. God. Anyway, so that's what I was going into Encanto.
On that note,
that is not the place you want to start.
It was raw. It was raw. And I feel like, honestly, at this point, there's not a Disney Pixar film that I don't cry through. I cannot remember the last one I haven't cried through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just going back to the dog thing, just because I know you're a TikTok fan, have you ever fallen into my dead dog TikTok?
I try and avoid it.
I don't know why my algorithm keeps feeding me. It's probably because I liked one video about one dog one time.
Yeah.
That now I'm just getting a lot of like, I think I'll remember you for the rest of my life.
Oh, my God.
And just pictures of their dying old dog. It's and like, it's like,
good
oh.
for you, but it's like, yeah. please don't pollute my fucking life.
I got
this.
An Instagram reel at the moment, like a sound, which is a lady doing a poem about like, when I have vacuumed up your last hair, when I have...
Yeah, I know it.
When I no longer have to leave the lights on when I leave the house.
Aww.
It's all right, it was my phone.
When I, you know, and it's just all these like fucking things that you do with your dog and I'm just like, and it's just that sound is a recurring thing for me now and I keep seeing it. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You're a dog person. You have a dog.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm about to go on holiday and I'm really stressed about it because I'm like, I will miss her so much. Mm. And the thing is, she's a violent criminal who talks too much. Mm. But if I don't see her for 10 days, what will happen?
I did Japan for 10 days and I was a nightmare. So we have a puppy sitter that is wonderful. Mm. I have stalked this puppy sitter beyond the telling of it to ensure that they were the right person and they are fabulous and they love my dog. And my dog can be quite difficult.
Mm.
And so she's fantastic. But if I didn't hear from her every 4 hours, I was like, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
This fucking bitch. What has she fucking done to my dog? Mm. What the fuck? And then I'll just be like, so, how's Stanley?
Yeah.
And she just sent me a lovely
remember
photo.
Him?
Yeah, do you remember my dog? And I was like, because one time I remember because he goes for a walk every morning.
Mm.
I take him for a walk at 7:30 to 8 every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And one time when we were away, it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh, so how's Stanley? And she's like, oh, I'm just at the gym. I'm going to walk in when I get home. I'm like, this bitch has betrayed my trust.
Wow.
This fucking bitch is not walking him. How dare she? Anyway, so I was like, this fucking bitch. And she just sent me a photo being like, he's fine. And he's like lying on the couch asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, he's fine then.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Encanto?
Sing along.
I have notes.
Sing along.
I have many notes about my viewing experience of Encanto.
Because,
sing-along
I mean,
version.
I feel like it's a good idea to get your thoughts. We can talk about
it again.
We
can talk sing-along.
We can talk about it again. But really, our main thing will be about the karaoke style sing-along. That
which
is
I do have opinions on.
Which
well,
we'll
I will
get
say,
to.
I always have captions on just because we're a literary household, you know, we love to read. Well, no, I don't know why I like captions on.
I'm a captions on person.
Captions on.
I miss
it. Tom is also a captions on.
I was watching a movie.
It's a literary podcast.
I was watching a movie recently with someone who was vehemently against captions.
Why?
Yeah, I've never encountered anyone.
You were watching a movie with Tom's wife?
You were watching one.
Whoa.
Imagine if that
root rat behaviour.
This is some. This happens a lot in football, but I think the first time this has happened on a podcast.
So why? What's the argument against captions?
They were like, it distracts me from the story. Like, it distracts me because I end up reading. And they were like, it gets in the way of the visual. I'm watching.
And it preempts as well. My
That's true. It does step on jokes.
I always try to turn off captions when I watch a comedy.
Mm.
Every time I watch a comedy, for the first 2 minutes, I'll turn off the captions and then I'll be like, and then I chuck them back on.
Yeah, there's something comforting about
but
it. I don't know what it is.
It does step on jokes. But no, their issue was we were watching Suspiria 2018 and their issue with it was that's a very visually stunning film.
True.
And they're like, this is getting in
it's
the way
polluting.
Of the visual. It's polluting the vision.
Interesting.
And I was like, that's great, but I've had a couple of beers and I'm struggling to follow
that's it.
What the fuck is going on.
Sometimes I just need one point.
And then they're like, let's watch it without subtitles. Oh, I'm like, that's fine. And I'm just sitting there watching fucking Melanie Griffith's daughter fucking explode her head. And I'm just like, I really wish I had subtitles right now.
Somebody tell me what's happening.
What the fuck is going on?
I prefer a caption because it actually means that I don't have to focus as hard.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm just reading rather than trying to hear what's happening.
Yeah.
And half the time I don't use them. But sometimes I'm just like, I'm so tired and I just need to space out that's when I it's also, read. Is that strange?
It's no, also how they mix. Fine. I think it's how they mix sound now. And unless you have surround sound, like in a cinema, I don't need captions.
Yeah, I
don't need them because the sound is clear enough. And I can hear the vocals, like the words. But on TV, you have to have it really loud.
Well, yeah, unless you have like a decent fucking soundbar and a subwoofer and like, you know, speakers around. All TVs, like, because like everyone has a flat screen now, all TV speakers are in the back of the thing. So the sound is literally pointing away from you. Plus you lose like a lot. My man's on the sound. He knows. Yeah, you know. Lose like mids and lower like frequencies. So then it's all just tinny, and a lot of time like lower frequencies and whatever are used for soundscape stuff or like what am I trying to say, like the actual sound of a living world.
You almost need speakers that are just the talking.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you can put the other stuff elsewhere. And I think I might, that might be something I do one day, is invest in like better sound for my TV. I have a sound bar, but I think I would love...
Oh, my partner brought into my life the most man soundscape. Our lounge room is like, got these, they're so ugly. These giant ass speakers and a subwoofer that's got a particular kind of film on it, and there's shit in the corners of our rooms. I don't, it's so that when he watches the F1, it's like it's an immersive experience. My boyfriend's a loser. I love him dearly, but it's so ugly. And I buy these beautiful vases that are sitting on top of the most heinous looking subwoofer I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. My dad, I grew up in a, my dad's a fucking tech nerd guy. And so in the 90s, he was putting money into fucking hi-fi systems and like surround sound and shit, but no like pre-Bluetooth, pre-wireless. So he would literally run cables everywhere. And my mum was like, these look so fucking ugly and they're a tripping hazard. So then he would get black like electrician's tape and like like properly paste it all fucking down into the carpet. So then it was just like beautiful carpet cut by these thick cords with like electrician's gaffer over the top. And it was just like, in hindsight, I'm like, I don't understand why my parents didn't get divorced sooner.
It is so foul. Like, my lounge room is just so aesthetically not pleasing.
But this
all.
Is the thing, though. You say that, but it's like, because I agree on a level. Like, I'm always toying with the fact that I really like watching movies. I want that experience to be the best that it can be. But, yeah, I also want a nice-looking living room.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, it is a bit much where I'm like, I'm the main reason I use this room is to watch stuff, and I would sacrifice, I would watch it with little subtitles and sacrifice sound so that it like looks nicer. That's a bit silly on another level, you know.
Well, that's why they have captions. I have captions so that I can have a delightful bookshelf.
Three times a month you have a guest. You can be like, look.
Look, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Three times a month. That is such a stretch. Like, no, but I use captions because I enjoy figurines that are pretty.
Yeah.
I enjoy festive candle, you know.
Yeah. We put our little vases and our lamps on top of the subwoofer and it's okay. It's okay.
I've hidden my PlayStation 5 behind a nice like door.
Oh, that's good.
Like I've put it in a cupboard and it's like I have never felt more deserving of like just like I am the best man for that.
Yeah.
Like it's like I have
it's
a PS5.
Generous of you. Yeah.
But I've hidden it.
It is really good of you. I do feel like as well like what you're saying, Mish, about just your boyfriend trying to immerse himself in the F1 sound. Like, it is such a thing of when you, as a woman in a relationship, are like, what I want is to create a home that is beautiful, that that has a sense of calm to it.
Yeah, I'm not here like to create a NASCAR.
Yeah, and they're like, I need to put my stuff here. Yeah.
I want to be living in a Porsche.
Yeah. What I want is on Saturday morning, I want it to sound like there is a car driving through our house.
And those are my wants and my needs. Yeah.
As a partner in this relationship, you have to validate.
Yeah, and by not letting me have them, you're really kind of like upsetting my boundaries.
Because like my boyfriend, he's like, I would say I love him so much. I got rid of most of his shit. Yeah. Most of his shit. Everything in the house is ours. But he's like, okay, but what about my art? And I'm like, your art is posters of podcasts you've been to.
Oh my God.
It is not art. It is a poster of 99% invisible.
It's so funny. My partner has an office, right, space. And the office space is full. It's like, it looks like a storage unit.
Mm.
And I said to him like a few weeks ago, I'm like, you have to clear that out. Like, why the fuck are you working from a storage unit? He's like, it's because it's all shit you won't let me put in any other room.
Exactly.
You won't
We've
let
got a whole fucking house. We've got a whole fucking house worth of stuff. We get half a room at best. And then it's like, why is, like, I can't trust you with the living room. Your half a room looks like shit. It's like, it's because I've got a living room worth of stuff in there.
Hey.
You know that bit in The Crucible where he's like, I have given you my soul, leave me my name. Yeah. That's how I feel. I used to be really anti-man caves. I thought they were sexist and gross. But now that the older I get, the more I'm just like, it's the office. It's the home office is the modern man cave. But it's just like, I have given you my home. Leave me my office.
Leave me my Lego figurines.
I have given you... This television is 10 to 20 inches less in the diagonal than I would have liked.
Because they are my Nike collectibles. I've never known any in my life.
Leave me my Pulp Fiction poster.
Hey, I reckon let's take a little ad break, and when we come back,
we will hear Jen's thoughts on Encanto.
Sing along.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, welcome back. Thank God we split this podcast in half because we've been talking about nothing but Encanto. Jen, what did you think of Encanto?
Okay, so overall the experience, magical, wonderful.
Yeah.
I will say I, as a 34-year-old person, have avoided the music of Lin-Manuel Miranda my entire life. Not out of hatred or anything. I just realized that I was watching this and I was like, I think this is the first time I've ever heard Lin-Manuel Miranda songs like performed in situ.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen Hamilton or In the Heights. So,
and I think it's his personal... I'd love to know your thoughts. But I actually, as I was watching this again, I was like, there's something about Lin-Manuel Miranda and all of his skills that he's developed doing like hip-hop hybrid, not doing hip-hop, like moving, like being tasked with something that isn't this like faux urban music theater, and then other performers and other like musical directors, I'm sure, coming in and working with what he's created for them, that I think it's actually his best stuff for me. Like, I like it a lot, these songs, more than his Hamilton stuff, I think.
The music of Encanto, which is what we're here to talk about because this is the sing-along episode, is my favourite part of the film. And the story's phenomenal and the characters are incredible, but I love the music in this. I think, and I probably said this the last time we watched Encanto, but not the sing-along version.
Yeah, we've never watched Encanto sing-along.
No, we've never watched Encanto sing-along. I want to make that really clear. I think it could be my favourite music in a Disney film.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
What are your thoughts?
Okay, so I don't know if it's just stylistically it was a lot.
Mm.
But I also think the whole movie is like
a lot.
It's expressionism. Like, it's like, and I read this review of it where it's like, you want to live in every frame, you want to pat every donkey, you want to smell every flower. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I just found it a lot, and I was kind of thinking what it kind of reminds me of, and it kind of reminds me of how I felt as a kid watching like Beauty and the Beast or The Little Mermaid. Like, those are the two films that I really grew up with, especially like the moving house and the teacups and stuff having a personality. I was like, but there was almost like way more of a sense of alienation from place in Beauty and the Beast because they're stuck in this like empty castle together.
Ooh.
And so it's quieter and it's more haunted. Whereas I feel like Encanto is literally about a house that is living. And so everything has to be like that. But it's just like, I just found it a lot. And I was like, I don't know, the Lin-Manuel Miranda of it all. I was like, it's very produced.
Yeah.
And it's very like every phrase is da 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 da. And it's like, there's no, for someone who loves hip hop, he doesn't seem to mix up the flow of any of
he has such a specific sound.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it's the same as like Shakespeare, right? Where it's like, da 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 da.
Iambic pentameter.
That's it. Yeah. And so I'm like, that's interesting, but just it was just a lot.
Yeah.
That's all I would say. The performance, and I just think production wise, it's like a lot, like really full on. Which is interesting.
I felt that way about Hamilton, which I know that you haven't seen, but everyone was like dicking on about how wonderful Hamilton is, and it is very good. But I found it like a one very long song that was all the same, except for the You'll Be Back song. We're not here to talk about Hamilton, but You'll Be Back was an excellent song. But I just couldn't I couldn't get fully on board with Hamilton like everybody else, because I felt like it was a lot of the same kind of vibe, and I just couldn't really differentiate the different people and scenes and stuff like
that. Yeah, I feel like with Encanto, and like, I don't know if maybe I'm just being like, I don't have like cultural awareness of like the traditions of the song that he's borrowing, songs that he's borrowing from. But I was just like, everything's really upbeat and really high. And I'm like, is this because it's for children and you've got to just have like flashing, like a lot of words, a lot of this, that, like just a relentless pace, everything? Or is it just that as a songwriter, is he a little bit insecure and he's got to fill spaces?
That is his vibe. And I think he's like, Hamilton, I think, is just like, where Hamilton has its strength, I think, is it's like, because it's fully sung through from memory.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any talking.
Like a Vita.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you say?
An opera.
Yeah, it's an opera, right?
It's a hip opera. Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
you didn't coin that phrase, surely.
No. But yeah, no, it's sung through, and sung through is a term as well. But because of that, and because it's so like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, when he brings in stillness, or when the director brings in stillness or silence in that work, it can be quite powerful. It doesn't happen a lot, but it's very like da-da-da-da-da-da for like 3 hours, and then it's still. And
yeah.
Like, whoa!
Because I remember like I was looking at the credits of Encanto, and I was like, okay, so Lin-Manuel writes all the original songs, and then there's a score composer as well. And I was like, but you don't really hear a score until I think like three quarters of the way through, and everything else is sung through, or not sung through, sorry, everything else is a song, or it's just like incidental sound. And I just was like, it's just a lot. I will say, we don't talk about Bruno, pretty fun.
I love a
groovy little vibe on that
what
one.
I love about We Don't Talk About Bruno is clearly that song was not meant to be one of the singles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look at it, and I think I've heard this in interviews where that's just meant to be a like a story song. That's like a Be Prepared or a like that's just like.
But it's so good.
Yeah, no, but when you look at like they don't, the way they shoot it, the way it's like, you know, there are always songs in every musical, and particularly in every Disney film, that are like purposefully void of character and plot. Like you know, the one with the strong sister.
Yeah.
Under
the surface.
Break.
Yeah.
You know,
pressure like a drip,
which is a great song, right? But that scene, you can take it out and it works.
Yeah.
That song, lyrically, there's no references in the song to plot or character because it's clearly...
Like Circle of Life.
It's clearly designed to be a single. It's clearly designed
Taylor's
to...
Taylor's Oldest Time from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
That's so true, Zach.
It's Memories is the same. It's in musicals as well. They have songs that are purposefully not too plotty. We Need to Talk About Bruno is very plotty.
It's the opposite
because
of that.
That's
it's
the
not We Need to Talk
About. Oh, We Need to Talk. Well, I think they do. I think Zachy just saw the subtext there.
I think if you've seen the film, you know they gotta talk
really
about
have
it.
To.
I feel like it's the first time as well I've ever seen a film or a musical film where I only know the songs from clips on TikTok. And so I had no idea what the fuck We Don't Talk About Bruno was. And whenever it would come up on TikTok, I'd be like, the fuck is this? Like, why are you doing a song if you don't talk about him? But now watching the film, I'm like, okay, love this song. Love that they're all like scared. He's like, oh, he's so much power. But they're still always like doing a little shoulder shimmy
and
of throwing ass.
And that whisper bit, the runway.
Oh, that was going to say, that's when Isabel, who can hear
she
things
can
from
hear
ages. No, not Isabel, the other one, the eldest one. And she's like, I associate him with the sound of falling sand. Yeah. Do you understand?
That one's
just like,
understand?
Yeah. And it's like, this great moment of like what musicals do well. It's like the context of the character, the plot, all of these things lead to then just a cool moment.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Love that. But I will say, I really like that pressure like a drip, drip, drip. Mm. I like that song, but also I only know that from the fucking Amanda Palmer cover. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, no, I haven't, but I can imagine.
Nightmare Fuel.
Nightmare Fuel.
Because she turns
I was obsessed with this, Jen. Of course we were obsessed with this.
Yes, she's when this cringe. Happened. We should have put it in the chat, honestly. We have a cringe chat, and it's for cringe videos.
Talking about the three of us.
The three of us have. And, oh, Zach, this was so yummy. So
because I think that people that comment under cringy Instagrams, I think they're bullies. Mm. I read them. Sometimes I laugh at those comments.
Sometimes I like them, obviously.
Yeah. Well, we often say, look at the comments of this video.
But I think that's bullying and I think it's rude. Yeah. What I do is I quietly send the video
to
my friends.
to my friends, Jen and Mish. So Amanda Palmer, if you're not familiar with her work, she used to be in a band called the Dresden Dolls, and it was her whole thing. She's like, she's punk folk.
Yeah.
I know it because she tried to fuck my boyfriend at Woodford Folk Festival 2010, I want to say.
Funny. Phenomenal.
Anyway, and she was married to Neil Gaiman, but is now living she was living on that island just off Auckland, which I think is always, I'm always sus on white. Yeah. Mm. I'm so sus on any white person, especially if you're from another country,
living
on like New Zealand islands, and then being like, the Maori people are so, so wonderful. Their connection with culture is like, you literally, it's the same as like when people buy property in Hawaii. It's like the locals are telling you, we don't want you here.
Yeah.
You're perpetuating colonialism.
What is what's his name in the piano? The one with the...
Harvey Keitel in the piano.
That's literally who you are. You're just like, what are you doing, dude?
So I'm just always sussing. And then she did a cover of it, and it's like, because her whole style is very strident, like cabaret folk punk, like truly some of the worst words thrown together. And so she does like pressure like you want, drip, like an ever stop. Like it's like
it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, and you've seen it?
I have, I remember.
And people trolled the shit out of her.
And the best, she was just like immediately after they trolled, she's like, control me. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm Amanda Palmer. And then a week later, she's like, okay, it's getting kind of
full on. It's hurting me now. But also, she was like, this is the same woman who was like, the N-word. Women are... Basically, she compared the plight of women to the use of the N-word against black people in America. And it's just like, you know, just like weird Gen X feminists who are like, you probably hate trans, but you know, have you noticed how Gen Xers really hate trans people? But they're really right on in every other fucking part of their politics. But then all of a sudden they're like, but I hate those fucking trans. And you're just like,
I can't wait to find out what I'm prejudiced about that I don't know
me
yet.
Too.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? Because their generation, who fucking grew up on David Bowie and stuff, they're like, we'll probably have no interaction with any trans person ever, right?
Yeah.
Grew up probably with no trans people around them. Mm. And then all of a sudden they're like, but you're not allowed to be a man, are you, anymore? You can't be a man anymore. You can just identify whatever you want. Sorry, I don't know why but I just feel like she gives me, I don't care if she's not turf, but she gives me turf vibes.
Do you know, I love that. What that reminds me of, right, is I really like very like highly produced kind of dancey music, and I'm getting into, after I watched All of Us Strangers. Have you seen that one yet? No. Mm-hmm. It has Pet Shop Boys in it, and I've never really listened to Pet Shop Boys, but I've started getting into the Pet Shop Boys, and they're beautiful and amazing because they have this really incredible production. It's super synthy. You can dance to it. It feels good, but the lyrics are really
gorgeous
profound
stuff.
And really beautiful.
Yeah.
And the amount of songs they have made that people have done like serious covers of, which, and there's good ones of them.
Yeah.
I don't mind the serious cover. What I find funny is when people are like, wow, you really made that song deep. And it's like, no, the song was already deep. It was just also fun.
Yeah. and also it was coming from a unique point of view because it was fun.
Yeah.
Because the instrumentation doesn't quite match the heftiness of the lyrics, which is what makes it interesting. But if you just do a sad dirge of a song,
yeah,
That can be good, can be great. Can be good,
but it's not an interesting or new take.
And it's no deeper. That's the thing I think that really pisses me off is this idea that people that mistake fun for not serious.
Yeah.
Like the idea that for something to be serious, it has to be like really dour and grey. And it's like that. Like it's like the latest Godzilla movie, not the latest one from America, the latest one from Japan, minus one, is so much fun and it's so thrilling, but it's also the most beautiful, profound, it's like, interesting movie I've seen.
Well, it's like in comedy as well. It's like people are like, I hate pathos in comedy. It's like, no, it can be done very well. It can be. I've seen, like, people want to talk about stuff that really affects them, that's important, but they keep it
funny.
Fun.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
it's a comedy show. This is a funny story about a horrible thing.
It's the thing I always loved about Boy, Boy.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, and there's been other films he's made that's been great, but what I loved about Boy is it's never not sad and it's never not funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's always both.
It's the same with David Sedaris' stories as well.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it's always, it's like the type of humor that I really love is like, it's not gallows humor because I wouldn't say it's like, I don't know. But yeah, I feel like early Taika used to really nail that, which was just like, there's something really sad and small about this, but it's also gorgeous and affirming.
Know, actually, truly, this is not me just bringing it back to Encanto for technical reasons. Truly bringing it back to Encanto, something I think this film does really beautifully is, because it's a very big corporate Disney film. It's got a lot, like you said, it's got a lot going on. But I think something that the artists have really pulled off is that balance of tone. I think it's less about, it's what it really captures is the magic and whimsy of Disney, but it's got a sadness through it all.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really hit me more than I think any Disney movie when I was watching it again. It's got like, it's got the sadness of generational trauma.
Yes.
And it's got the sadness of not meeting expectation. And it's got the sadness of the pressure. Feels like a very feminist film, so I shouldn't talk over you about that. But
No, I felt it more so watching the sing-along version, and I'm not just bringing it back to the sing-along version. But I'd never really paid much attention to the Isabel character, which is the perfect one who makes flowers. And I felt it there, like that kind of like the pressure she feels to live up to a certain expectation. It was really sad, but done while singing a song about flowers and fauna and jumping around. It's just, I think it was tackled very, very well.
I feel like the Isabella character deserved a song of the quality of the Drip, Drip, Drip song because I loved the strong girl being like, I have to be strong for everyone. Like, that is so, like, like feminist in a way, but just this idea that,
but also really humanist.
Yeah.
She's a very masculine character. That's a pressure that's on a lot of men as well.
Totally.
That, like, just hold it together. Just hold it together. Let other people feel.
And let other people put their expectations on you. And all you can say is yes. Because if you ever say no, like, you might be letting someone down.
Yeah, so well done.
And it's a story. And I think that's like, that's an experience that's mirrored in every single character. Like, Mirabelle has the same thing. It's these, it's characters that are trying to hold up something.
Yep.
Yeah.
When actually what they need to do is just accept. 100%. And I think it captures that really beautifully.
I think. And I really love that Mirabelle's gift in the end is to heal generational trauma. Like, that is so lovely.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's like how I felt when I watched Inside.
Oh, yeah.
Inside Out.
Inside Out, yeah. And it was just like,
that movie fucked me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I remember seeing it in the cinema and it was like a work screening. It was back when I was at Triple J. So it was all like fucking hips, whatever. Like, Sir Lewis Hobber, who's like, you ever show me one emotion, I'll tell everyone you're crazy. Anyway, joking. But I'm joking. But I remember it was the first time I was like, fuck, I wish someone had shown me this as a kid, because it was the first time anyone can be like, sadness is a valid emotion to have, and sometimes you will feel sad. Yeah. Anger is a valid emotion to have, and sometimes you will feel anger. And these are all part of it. Ooh. And it's all equally as valid. You don't always have to be happy. And I was just like, I know that's not like a controversial take now, but as a kid, I would have loved to have been like, because when you're sad, or like the way I grew up, when you're sad or when you're angry, you just instantly get put in your room.
Yeah, push it.
And it's just like, oh man, like, that was revolutionary to me. And I'm like, they're giving this to their kids? Like, this is crazy.
Crazy.
And yeah, just the idea that like, just because your talent isn't as apparent as other people's immediately doesn't mean that you can't do something very powerful. Yeah. Come on now.
There's a quote I saw recently. It was just a TikTok sound. It was from a Doctor Who episode. Mm. he said something along the lines of like, I've lived for 900 years and I've never met someone who isn't important.
Oh, yeah. It's like, they're nothing important. Wow, that's extraordinary. 900 years, I've never met anyone who wasn't important before.
So nice.
That's beautiful. Really lovely.
Isn't that, I watched so many just twinks do that.
That must be Russell T. Davis. Like, that's got it. That's such a queer perspective, you know.
Hey, let's do some Leguistamos.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I gave it last time. In terms of how Leguizamo-y the sing-along was, I'm going to give it 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because with the sing-along version, it drew my attention to the fact that Leguizamo doesn't sing in this film.
Yeah.
Does he not sing at all?
He has one line in the final song. Yeah. So that's the only reason. It just happened to draw my attention to the fact that John Leguizamo is not in this film as much as he could be. Mm. So that's, and based on Leguizamo-iness, it gets 4 Leguistamos from me.
I'm going to give it 4.5 Leguistamos. For a similar reason, but opposite, which is it drew my attention even more to we don't talk about the Bruno. Mm. God, I've become an old man.
The Bruno.
Yeah. Oh, the Bruno
the
one.
The Bruno one.
Because
Bruno,
I just think.
Sacha Baron's gay German character.
It just drew my attention
it's
how
true.
Much.
We don't talk about Bruno about that him. Much.
Yeah.
And he was a good character, probably the sharpest satire of any of them.
Yeah, definitely felt more dangerous than a lot of the other stuff he's done.
Yeah. But no, I'm going to give it 4.5 because I think, you know, here I was looking at the lyrics, the importance that is placed on what's greater for John Leguizamo than really this is like a third billing or an and John Leguizamo role for him. I said this last time, he's playing himself. He's not doing a silly voice, which is which is lovely. He's such an important secondary character that there's a song about him. Mm. The last thing I'll say is when John Leguizamo has a director who knows how to use his playfulness, it's a real treat.
Yeah.
And this was a character that had the silly voices, that had the goofiness.
Yeah, a lot of trust in him.
But also was then used in a way that was honest to the character and the tone.
Yeah, 100%.
And I love that, and that's why I give it 4.5 Leguistamos.
Dang.
Jen Leguistamo?
We think a lot about Leggy. Mm.
I'm with you because honestly I would just have loved more Leguizamo because I agree with both of you so much. Mm. And I was just thinking as well, last time I was on here we were talking about another role where he was doing voiceover. Mm. And I think last time we mentioned
Animals.
And what Which a great voiceover artist he is.
Yeah.
And how so few actors can bring that.
Yeah.
I would say Disney obviously are just so pro at it that they're casting and they're directing in the voice booth seems to be like just of another level that you don't really get on other animated films from like.
He was pretty good in Fish and Chips, the movie.
I don't know if you've seen Fish and Chips, the movie.
No, I actually haven't seen Fish and Chips.
It's worth the $4.99.
What's your
Starmo
rating?
Okay, so my rating I think is, I would say 4.5 as well.
Yeah. Nice.
I would have loved some more Starmo. I loved when he was in it. He's so playful. He's so he's the emotional heart of the film too.
Oh, yeah.
And the moment where he goes, okay, I'm going to go. She's like, if this works, I'm going to bring you home. Oh. I was like,
He could have done with a song. And maybe I'm looking at it
verse.
From the wrong
I would have loved a verse. That's all. I didn't need a whole song, but a verse would have been lovely.
A verse would have been good. Yeah. I just feel like you're literally isolating him from the rest of the film, much like his character.
Mm. Yeah.
That bit when she looks through the crack and she realizes that he's been sitting at the table the whole time with
and
them.
He's
oh, my God,
his
it's
own
so beautiful.
Play.
And then
oh
it cuts
gosh.
To the shot. It's like that shot where he's just standing there like he doesn't say anything. He's just like,
yeah.
I liked
it's pretty
the bit,
sad.
I liked the bit when he's trying to get out of the falling down house. So he puts a bucket on his head and head slams a wall to get out.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a really great little bit of comedy.
Also, I love special shout out to all the voices of the animals in this because I found out that Alan Tudyk plays the toucan.
Oh.
And I love Alan Tudyk, but I'm also like, I saw the credit before I saw the film, so I was expecting some witty banter from the toucan. Yeah. It was just noises.
Perfect.
Wow. It was just honking.
They do that sometimes.
It's such a beautiful film. I'm so glad we got the opportunity to kind of watch Encanto again. But to reiterate, this was the sing-along version of it.
Let me say one thing about the sing-along thing. Yeah. Gorgeous font.
Yeah.
Love that they made it as flowery as
and
the
as
rest
colourful.
Of it. Yeah.
Oh, what a treat.
I certainly contemplated singing along.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was in a hotel room watching it on a laptop.
I sang. I did sing along a little bit. Yeah,
did you?
A little bit.
I didn't know the words, but I was like, this would be fun if I knew it.
Yeah.
This
would
be fun. Yeah.
Hey, Jen, thank you so much for joining us these last two episodes of Mission Zach's Leguizamarama.
Do you have anything to promote, Jen?
I do. I have a show at the Sydney Comedy Festival from the 16th to the 19th of May. And it's called Forever, and it's about wanting to live forever. And, come along. The first night, I think, is almost sold out. So get your tickets early, please.
I saw it in Melbourne, and it is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you, Mitch.
Like genuinely a proper, like, masterclass in how to do stand-up.
I love this show, and that
it's
means
so
much
good.
To me.
It's so fun.
Oh, my God. I fought very hard to put on the show this year, so that means so much to me. I'm already very raw because of my dead dog dream, but I really appreciate you, A, coming and enjoying
it. Of course, babe. I loved it so much. Thank you so much to everyone who listened. Tom, can you take us away with your rendition of We Need to Talk About Bruno?
We don't talk about it. Oh, no, it was a new song.
We need to talk about it. Yeah, we just have to.
Tom stepped out, I think, for technical reasons.
So that's going to be a nice surprise
for
him.
We won't. Maybe we'll ask him next podcast whether it's a Leguizar go or a Leguizar no-no. That's a new thing we do. So we'll find out next podcast. Tune in then.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks, guys.
We need to talk about Bruno because that's the character that John plays, I gather, from listening to the podcast. I've never seen the film, and I wasn't even in the room when we recorded this podcast. I was out waiting for Alexi, who is next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.